Hello, everyone. I'm waiting for my computer to be on, so it's okay. So hello, everyone. How's everyone today? Well, I guess you're not too nervous as I am. Well, it's a huge blessing for me to be here, guys, and to be here in this place today as Sunday. And actually, I didn't know we were going to have a picture about my preaching today, but actually I like it. It's about what I'm preaching today. It's about the parable of the sower. So if you don't understand something that I say, please raise your hand and say, Danny, I don't understand. Can you say it again? So I'm going to need your help. Or if you understand first and the other person doesn't understand, you can tell, no, he's trying to say this. Okay, so that will be good. So, good morning, everyone, and welcome. So we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower. God talked to me like 2 weeks ago, and he was preparing myself. I didn't know that I was going to preach today until the last week. So God have this sermon in my heart for 2 weeks already before that. So God told me, and he said, hey, Danny, you're going to talk about the parable of the sower. Just be ready. Pastor Brandon is going to talk to you. He's going to let you know that you're going to preach. So that's what I want you to talk about. So I just have to do what God's asking me to do. Amen? So I hope you are ready. I hope you are excited. I hope you don't fall asleep. And I hope everyone can enjoy the preaching today. So I want to pray before I want to start. So please, if you can, you know, raise your hand to me, guys, please, and pray for me. I'm going to start praying. Heavenly Father, thank you for this wonderful day. God, thanks for this opportunity that you give to me to be here, to speak to your people, to speak to your church. God, I'll bless every one of them. God, please bless me too. God, I'm your instrument. I'm your servant. I'm here to speak your word, God, and help us to be ready. And yes, thank you, God, for this time. It's about you. It's not about me. It's about you. Thank you, God. Amen. So, as I was saying, I'm going to talk about the parable of the sower. Amen? So, how many of you likes to sow or plant? How many of you? 1, 2, 3. So, you know which is the best soil, right, to plant, right? Huh? Yeah. Yes. 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 Will you plant on concrete? Why? Will you plant on rocky soil? No. Why? Because we can't. Right? We can't. So the parable of the sower teaches that there is 4 types of soils. Or let's say 4 types of hearts. Or let's say there are 4 types of people in a church. Are you with me? 4 types of soils. Jesus said, that's the parable of Jesus. He preached that. It's not me. Jesus said, hey, there's 4 types of soils, which means 4 types of hearts. Amen? So, in a church like this church, always, I don't know why, but always there are going to be 4 types of hearts. Jesus knows that. So, question, do you know who is the sower? And I want you here to guys, to if you can talk, if you can say, hey, Danny, I know who is the sower. Do you know who is the sower?
You are.
Huh? Well, yes, thank you. In this case, it's me, but the sower is the person who preach the word. Amen? It's the person who preach or share the gospel with one another. And the soil is our heart. In this moment, praise God, I'm sowing in your heart. Amen? So I hope you're ready. So, four different types of soils. How is your heart? How is your soil? I'm not saying they're going to tell you, how is your heart today? I'm not saying they're going to say, yes, your heart is like that. No, just God and you know how's your heart. Just God and you know how's your soil, how ready you are for God. So we're going to be talking about the parable of the sower in Matthew 13. And as I was saying, there are four types of soils. The number one is the ones next to the path or road. The second one is the rocky ground. The third one is between thorns. And the fourth one is the good land. That's why we have this picture over there. The happy, well, this she's very angry. The sad boy, she's like complaining too, I guess. And the happy guy. I wish and I hope everyone can be in the fourth guy, like the fourth guy, the last one, because he is what God wants us to be with that heart, good soil, and giving fruits. But let's go to Matthew 13:4. If you have your Bible, you can turn it on, or you can also, you know, if you have your physical Bible, you can go on Matthew 13:4. I don't know if we have the verse. There we go. Thank you. So, and as he sowed, some seeds fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured or eat them. Okay? So that's why we had the first picture. The first picture shows us very well the first soil. Easy. Easy. The first soil is like concrete. Concrete, like, you know, the Bible said that he was walking through and he was sitting and some seeds fell in this kind of ground. So Jesus also, he gave explanation. And the explanation that Jesus gave is in Matthew 13:19, if you want to read it. And say, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatch away what has been sown in his heart. This is the person, you know, with the first heart. So what does that mean? So when the pastor or someone is sowing in you, that means that you can't understand it sometimes. Or maybe you are not paying attention or whatever is the case. I don't know what's the case. But Jesus was saying that these kind of people can't understand it. That's why the enemy comes and steals everything from you. So this path means the road, right? The pavement. That's what I was asking you before. Will you plant on concrete? What do you need to do if you want to plant on concrete? You need to block the concrete, right? Imagine if you want to plant in your backyard, but your backyard is full of concrete. What do you need to do? You need to get rid of the concrete. It's going to be hard. And let me tell you, that was your heart before. Jesus has to come to break everything that was in your heart. Yes or not? Yes. Yes, he has to come and say, oh, I need to plant in you love. I need to plant in you patience and whatever, the fruit of the Holy Spirit, which is love, amor, gozo, which is love, joy, patient. I have to say it in Spanish. I'm saying it in Spanish, not in English. But what I mean is, when we have, you know, a heart of concrete, God can't plant anything in us. Because our heart is concrete. He can't. So when, you know, when a preacher or someone is talking with you about God, I don't know if you have this experience, like, that you go around the neighborhood, you talk with someone, and you tell, hey, you know, Jesus loves you. Jesus is, you know, come to church, and Jesus loves you, and yada, yada. And that person, oh, okay, okay. And you think that you're doing a great job, but then the person is like, I don't want to. The last time I was asking someone, and I was asking this person, did you want Jesus to work in your life? Do you want Jesus to handle this problem? And this person said, no, I don't want him. was like, ooh, that's putting your heart with concrete. You don't want Jesus to work in your life. That's bad. So, also something else that makes our heart to be a concrete and happens with everyone, happens sometimes to me too, with me, is our pride. We are very proud. Pride, right? Proud. We are proud people. Thank you. We are proud. And we are like, what God is going to teach me through this little boy? Come on, I know more than him. That means proud. Proud. God can use a little boy of 8 years old to teach us a lot of things. As he can teach me too. I'm not saying that you are proud. I'm just giving an example, okay? So this kind of people that has a little proud is like, I know everything. I don't need your help. You know, so every single time they're making his heart like more like concrete. And the enemy comes and steals all the blessings that God has for them. Because God has blessings for every one of us. Do you believe that? God has blessings. God has wonderful things. God has promises for us. But when we put our hearts in concrete, we're saying not to God. Like this person that I was talking with, I was asking this person, hey, God wants to handle these for you. You don't have to fight. God say, give it to me, and I want to do it. But this person say, no, I don't need him. I was like, ooh, okay. It's the same, doing the same, like the first person. So that's when you see these kind of people, they're like always angry. They don't want to talk. They don't want to know anything. They don't want Jesus. And I have an example. I want to tell you something. With the first heart, they have more problems. Because if Jesus wants to work in their life, Jesus or God has a huge hammer to destroy all the concrete and make this concrete heart to be a normal heart. It's going to be painful, but then it's going to be good if you let God to work in your heart. It's like you, if your backyard is full of concrete, you need a big hammer and a big nail or whatever you want to do to take all the concrete away. God is going to do the same. It's going to be painful sometimes. But if you say, okay, God, yes, it's going to be easier. But if we say no, it's going to be harder. Going to be harder and harder. But okay. But praise God, we are not the first person. Amen? We are not. No, we don't want to be the first person. It's hard. It's not good. As we say in Spanish, no bueno. Not good. The first person is going to be sad. But if you know someone that has the hearts like that first person, pray for them. If you feel that your heart sometimes is becoming like concrete, pray for you. Because it's not good to have a heart like concrete. Because if God wants to plant something, guess what is going to happen? Nada. Nothing. Nothing. Because we can't plant in concrete. God needs a good soil. Gets a great heart. So the number one are the ones that have the harder hearts. And Jesus' word can't have Ruth, you know. Jesus wants to root his life in our life, but Jesus can't find any place in this kind of people heart. I have an uncle. He has a lot of money. He is rich. But because he is rich, he said that he doesn't need God because he has everything. He has like 7 cars and he sells a lot of things. But he's like, no, I'm fine. I don't need God. It's sad because he doesn't know what he needs. We don't know what we need. We think that we know, but when our heart is like concrete, we can't understand God's word. But praise God that we don't have that heart. Amen? Amen. If you are with me, say amen, Lord. Amen. Sorry, I have this Latino thing that we are Latino church, you know, when the pastor says, amen, all the people say, amen, praise God. So let's go with the second one. The second one is in Matthew 13, 5, 6. And say, other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and quickly or immediately, right, they sprang up since they had not deep soil, but when the sun rose, they were scorched, right? Scorched, thank you. And since they had no root, they withered away, right? See how important it is that we need to have our life rooted in God. Because when the problems and challenges come, or the wind, imagine a tree. If you have a huge tree in your backyard, again, that backyard, and a huge and crazy wind comes, and this tree is not good rooted in the soil, it's going to fall on your house. It's going to. And that means problems, right? So let's read the explanation of Jesus about this. And we find that Jesus' explanation in Matthew 13, 20, 21, if you want to go and read it. So Matthew 13, 20, 21 said, As for what was sown on rocky ground, this is the one who hears the word and immediately, that's hard for me, and quickly receives it with joy. So they're like, you know, when the pastor or someone tells the God's love, then they're like, woohoo, God loves me. So they receive it with love, with joy, I mean. But yet, he has no roots in himself, in Jesus, or in God, but endures for a while. And when the tribulation or persecution arise, guess what happened? They fall. They go back. That's what I was giving example about the tree. It's the same. So this type of person who describes the scriptures cannot take root in Jesus as the same one. They can't. They can't. Because their faith, it's only a momentary faith. It's something just emotional. And we have to be careful with our emotions. Because our emotions are going to say yes to this, but it's not the best for us. Happens to me a lot. I don't know if it happens to you, but when I was growing, and I'm still growing, obviously, but my emotions, I was making a little mistakes because of my emotions. So these kind of people, they take their decisions, or make their decisions by their emotions. So, and their joy is something emotional to you. It's not something true. It's not something based on God. It's not based on faith. It's based on emotions. So everything, as I said, it's based on their emotions. So the word of God cannot take root in their hearts. You know why? Because there is no soil. Because their heart has a little bit of rocks. Will you plant in a rocky ground? I won't. Will be too hard. Too much work. Yeah, it will be too much work. It's too hard. So sometimes our heart is like that. It's not like the first one. The first one is the harder one, but the second one has a little bit of soil, but has some rocks. So let's say like the first one is the hardest one, but when we, in our life was like that, like the first one. But when we come to Jesus, you know, our heart starts to become having that transformation from the concrete one then to the rocky one. It's a transformation. Transformation. And God has to take things that out of our life that he knows that they are not healthy. He has to do that. As I said before, it's going to be painful, but God has to do his job because he loves us. He wants us to be joyful, happy, to rejoice with him in the future, in the heaven. God wants that for us. So, as I was saying, the word of God can take root in this kind of type of person. Because the lack of prayer. They don't want to read the Bible. I'm not saying it's you. They don't want to come to church. So something that makes your heart to be a rocky ground for Jesus is the lack of prayers, is the lack of fellowship one another, because come to church means that we are having a fellowship with one another, and God loves that. And this kind of person, the people, you know, as I was saying, is they have a faith or joy, emotional, very emotional. And in my church, I remember in Honduras, my dad's church, there was like one time a lot of people coming. And a lot of people was coming to the church because, you know, we have a relationship like 14 or 16 years, this church to the church in Honduras. And I don't know how many of you guys went to Honduras, built houses or stuff like that. And guess what? The people was going to church just because they wanted a house. And after the house was built, they were like, oh, my house is built, so I don't need Jesus anymore. Woohoo! They were gone. Yeah. They are not in church. So what I mean is they were coming because, oh, yes, that was a lie. Yeah, I have joy. I'm a Christian. But actually, their heart wasn't surrendered to God. And they didn't have a devotional life to God. So, when the test or the tribulation comes, these people that have their root on rocky ground or rocky soil fail. They say, no more. No, I thought being a Christian was going to be great. Everyone say that being a Christian, I'm going to be happy. I'm going to be a joyful life. Everything is going to be good. Who say that? Who say that? Being a Christian means that we are going to have tribulations. We are not being persecuted, but Jesus was persecuted. The apostles too. Being a Christian today, it's easier than before. Because we can come and we can have a Bible in our hands here, I think, right? In our farms. But a long time ago, they were persecuted. So being a Christian today has to be something that we need to rejoice, to be happy about it. Amen? So, as I was saying, that this type of heart, the rocky ground, they are temporarily, right? Believers. They are believers just for a season. Okay, they're like, okay, let's see if that works. I'm going to be a Christian this season. And if that works, that's good. If not, that I don't need Jesus. But when we have Jesus, we're going to have tribulations, but it's going to be different because God is with us. Before, we were by ourselves, but now God is with us. That doesn't mean that everything is easier, no. But that means that everything can be possible with God. So the second heart, those kind of believers, they are like for seasons. And then when Christmas time comes, they're like, no, I'm not a Christian anymore. That happens a lot in Honduras. Like we have people coming to church and they're like, no, it's Christmas season. I don't want to be Christian because I want to go drink and lose my life for a little bit and then come back to church. We call them the Christians, the seasoned Christians. So remember, these kind of people's hearts, they don't want to congregate, they don't want to pray, they don't want to have a fellowship time, with others. These kind of people, they just want everything for themselves. Not me, I want this. And if that doesn't work, God, I don't need God. Because their heart is rocky ground. They think that they don't need Jesus. And the third one is the ones in thorny land. It's in Matthew 13:7. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up. You know what happened? Shocked them. How do you feel sometimes like that? How do you feel like that before? That your faith is growing, but something come and shock your faith? Sometimes it happens. But that's when we need to pray more and say, no, God, you are with me. No, God, I can handle this because you are with me, and I can do this because of you, God. Not because of me, because I'm not by myself. Because of you, God. I am who I am because of you. I'm your creation. I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I'm yours. I belong to you. So pray over your life like that, and it's going to happen to you. So explanation by Jesus in Matthew 13:22. As for what was sown among thorns, this is the one who hears the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches shock the world, and it prove unfruitful, right? So in this example, the heart is half and half. Number three, we can say that the heart is half and half. Half Christian, half not Christian. He wants to do, I want to do this as non-Christian, but I want to go to church again as a Christian. I want to go to church, but I don't want to change my life. I feel okay saying bad words. I feel that's fine. But I want to keep going to church. I want to keep drinking as before or smoking as before, but I want to be at church. I'm not saying that's bad, but if you are surrendering everything to God, we need to understand that we need to make change. Because we can't love to or serve to or serve to what? Mm-hmm. We can't serve the world and try to come here and serve God. We need to take a decision. We need to serve God. And if you are in that transition, it's a surrender daily day. Surrender to Jesus day, every day. My life is just for God every day, every single day. When you wake up, okay, God, I know it's going to be hard, but I don't want my heart to be as the third person. I don't want everything to be like a thorny lane in my life, because everything is going to die. I'm not going to give fruits to you, because we are serving one master and then we try to serve another. So in this, as I was saying, this heart is half and half, because has not been totally surrendered to God. We need to surrender our heart 100%, give it to him, totally. In other words, the way how their life is, it's like, okay, today I want to do this. But the Bible say, hey, you can't do this. I know God understand. He's going to forgive me. I'm fine. You know, that's not healthy either. That's not healthy. Also, the Bible was saying here that the Jesus' explanation, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches shock the world. So what does that mean? That sometimes our own opinions, our own desires, what we think that is best, that's what keeps us away from God. Because God is saying, no, that's what I want you to do. Danny, that's what I want you to do. Danny, this. But then I'm like, no, I feel like I think that's the best. You know, I'm going to hear my voice. That's the best. And that's when we fail. That's when we fail. Sorry about that. So, what is that that's keeping us away from God? Our own desires, my own opinion. Sometimes that keeps us away from God. Because God is saying, no, I want you to go this way. But then we're like, I don't think that's going to work. Because we're proud, you know, of our own opinion. God, but what if I do this? Let me do it. And then God is like, okay, because I love you, I'm going to let you try. You're going to fail, but because I love you, I'm going to keep you, bring you back. Happens to me a lot. A lot. I didn't want it to be a pastor. Let me tell you, I didn't want it to be a pastor. I was like, God, but I want to make a lot of money. I was going to college, computer engineer. God, I want to make a lot of money. I want to have 3 cars, a nice house, yada, 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 yada. You know, I was 19 years old. I was like, no, I want to do this and this and this. And God, okay, listen, you can do it. And then I become like IT support guy. I was the manager of my area with my guys. I had 3 guys more. But I was feeling so sad. I was feeling that's not my spot. That's not where I need to be. And I can see that God was saying, okay, I'm going to let you do it. I'm going to let you do it so you can understand that you don't know what you want for your life. I was sad. I was doing everything that I wanted, and I was thinking that was going to be the best for me. I did it. I was being paid more than my dad. My dad's a pastor, so I had more money than him because I knew how much he was doing. But I was unhappy. I was like, that's not what I want. That's not me. And then I have to run away that job. I had to quit. And the person, the human resource told me, hey, if you quit like that, we're not going to pay you. I was like, I don't care. That's not my place. Then I started doing leadership focus to become a pastor. That's why I'm here. And let me tell you, being here is the best. Serving God is the best. Amen. It's the best. I was doing something else, but I was like, no, I love to work with computers, yes, but I love more here being with you guys. That's how I feel like, yes, that's why God created me. When we give everything to God and when we give our hearts completely to God, He started working in our life. And it's in that moment when our heart becomes like the fourth or the last one soil. And we can find that in Matthew 13:8. It says, other seeds fell on good soil. And this is you. You and you and you and you. Good soil. This is you. And produce what? Grain. And I want you, everyone, to hear it because this is you. I mean, I want everyone to read it with me loud because this is you. Matthew 13:8. 1, 2, 3. Other seeds fell in good soil and produced grain, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. That's you. That's your heart. That's you. That's you. That's me. That's how God wants us to be every day, not just today. He wants us to give fruits every single day. So my question is, how many fruits are you giving? How is your soil? How many fruits? Are you doing the 100-fold, 60, so 30, right? 30? But that's we. That's how we are supposed to be for Jesus. So God can use our life. So God can use ourselves to bless others. To bless others, to be a light for others. People is going to come to church. Yes, because of who God it is, but because of who God it is in you. How we are showing God. So the explanation by Jesus is we find it in Matthew 13:23, if you want to read it. As for what was sown on good soil, this is the one who hears the word and understand it. And understand it. Blessed are the ones that can understand the word. He indeed bears fruit and yields in one case in 100-fold, in another 60, in another 30. Blessed are the ones that can understand the word and preach to others. These type of people are described in the Bible as those of good and upright hearts. This is you and I. This is you and I. Amen? Amen. This is we. This is we. This is who we are. And not only that, also that they are the ones who hold the word and bear fruit with perseverance. Not just, as I said before, not one day, perseverance. Every day. Every day. God is calling us to give fruit. Every day. Sometimes it's hard, you know, because we get tired. We're frustrated. We, you know, and we can say something like, ah, or whatever. Whatever. What can happen? You know what happened yesterday. Maybe you have a mistake yesterday. But God is so wonderful. He knows that we're going to fail or say something or do something wrong, but he's like, hey, son, I love you. I know that. You're fine. I know you have another opportunity tomorrow, so you can do better tomorrow because you're my son and I love you. So we don't have to feel bad. We need to say, okay, God, thank you. I'm going to do my best because of you. So that's why it's important to have a prayer life, to pray every day, and to remember that our battle, it's spiritual. It's spiritual. It's not, you're not having a battle with your friend. I'm not having a battle with my friend. If he says something that I don't like, he's like, no, hey, I don't like that. No, no, no. Or someone else outside the church. We have to remember, no, it's spiritual. God is working in my life. God is working in my life. Maybe sometime I'm going to say something and you won't like it. But if you are a good soil, you're going to understand this and say, oh, God is working in my life too. He wants me to be a good soil. He wants me to love this person. He's using this person to perfect me so I can be perfect, so I can be better every day. And that's hard. Or if you say something or do something to me, I have to be, yes, God. Amen. You are making me better. And this is because of you. It's because of you. We need to love one another, be light for one another, pray for one another. That only can be possible if we are good soils. If we hold the world, the word of God, the last one, and we can be happy as the other guy over there, happy every day. Even through tribulations, we can be happy. Why? Because we know that whenever what happened to our body or soul belongs to God. And the enemy can touch your body, yes. You can lose one hand, one leg, whatever. But the enemy can't touch your soul because you belong to God. You belong to God. So understanding this, we can be like, yeah, it's okay. Right now, I have a huge pain here. It's been a pain there. I don't want to go to the doctor because I don't want him to tell me, no, you have like something there that we, whatever, and it's going to cost a lot of money. So I've been having this pain for like 2 years already that messed with me. So I don't want to see that, to take care of that, because I know that I belong to God. I don't care what happened to my body because I know that God is going to handle it. I know God is going to do something. And sometimes he used these kind of things to show his glory. He used every single thing to show how powerful he is. And God is asking us, do you trust me? Yes, I do. So when we are in the fourth and last one phase, or we have our hearts like that soil, we can see a lot of things, but we can understand that we need to give fruits. It doesn't matter what happens. We are ready to give fruits and to every day to be a light for others. And I want to tell you one story before I finish. I went to Florida in 2020, I guess. And that was an old lady. She was dying of cancer. And I went with my mission pastor. We went to her house, and he was like, "Hey, Danny, we're going to pray for her." And when we went there, we were talking to her. And I was like, "Yes, we're going to pray for her. I'm going to do your will." But this woman said, "Hey, I know God has everything in control. I know I'm going to die." She died. "I know I'm going to die soon." But she was so happy and with joy. And when I saw her, I started crying. Because I was like, when we love this world, we don't enjoy it. But when we love God, doesn't matter what happens to our hearts, we can have joy, we can have happiness, we can enjoy our life, and we can be light for others. And this woman gave me more. He filled my heart of joy and faith. I was like, "Oh no, I'm going to pray for her." But when she was talking to me, she was dying in her bed. I was like, "Wow, God, that's the type of soil that you want us to be." And that's hard when you're knowing that things are going bad. It's hard. But when you are light for others, it's wonderful. He touched my heart. And that's why I'm here too. And when I'm facing situations like that, I remember her. And I'm like, if she did it, I can do it too. If she did, I can do it too. And she marked my life. You are going to mark other people's life doing the same, being that kind of soil. You're going to bless a lot of people. So don't be like, oh. No, I belong to God. It doesn't matter what, I'm going to love God. And I'm God's daughter, I'm God's son. And I belong to him, and I'm going to see him. And I know she's in heaven. She's not, no pain anymore. No pain, she's good. No pain. So that's the type of soil that God wants us to be. Give fruits to others. Bless others. Because God already works in our hearts. So if he already works in your heart, if he already plants in your heart, we need to give fruits so others can know more about God. Others can know more. And we can bless other people. Let me tell you, I feel very blessed when I think about this woman. I cry every time. I cry. That's why I was crying. I cry. Because that's wonderful. And you can do that the same to other people too. That's what God wants us to be for other people. So being the last one, it's wonderful. It's a wonderful life of faith. It's when we can give fruits. It's when we understand that it's not about me. It's not about how proud I am. It's not about who Danny Martinez is. It's about who God or Jesus is in my life. Amen. It's not about you. Because who are we? Nothing. We can be great using God's hand. I'm going to invite Pastor Brandon for worship time with the worship leaders too. And remember, we need to be a good soil every day. God is waiting the best. He's hoping the best. And he's hoping for us to give the best every day. It's hard sometimes. Because we think other things, we're like, "No, I think this is the best." But we need to surrender everything to God. And by doing this, we can change others' life too. Because it's about God. It's not about us. So, Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, God. Thank you for this wonderful day. Thanks for the sermon. God, help us to be that soil, to give fruits, the fruits of the Spirit. Help us, God, to understand that everything is about you, that it's not about us. Help us, God, to be a blessing for others, to be a light for others. And even through our situations, hard situations, help us, God, to be a blessing, because we trust you, God. And we belong to you. In your name I pray, God. Amen.